Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination. Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
This is Dan Aykroyd, happy to be on Nerdy Show.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. You're listening to part two of our Halloween special. I'm in the Ecto-1 with the Central Florida Ghostbusters. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
What's up?
And you should totally listen to part one. We're discussing some cool, scary topics that fans have given us. The Ghostbusters actually invited me out on a bust with them, except it's not really going to be a bust. They're just checking out a place that they get lots of calls for. It's an abandoned hospital, but nothing ever happens there. It's just a bunch of vagrants or stupid kids or...
It's going to be boring. But, we got stuff to talk about, so...
Yeah, we're going to talk about horror movies and horror video games, fan-requested topics.
Here she is.
Yeah.
We are pulling up to the place right now.
Isn't it?
Well, by comparison to the one in Tallahassee, it's not that big a deal, but, I can totally see the allure of sneaking in there.
I mean, it's like the seventh time we've been here this week. I will say, though, like, I'm definitely getting a weird vibe out of this place today.
Well, why today? You've been really dismissive of it up to this point.
Yeah, I'm a total skeptic, but at the same time, I mean... The more you...
What are you a skeptic of at this point, LaForge? Because...
Well, I'm a skeptic of anything I don't have proof for. I didn't believe in ghosts till I started doing this job. I honestly don't... Like, knowing now that ghosts are real, I don't know how I got hired.
I'm very surprised to hear that. I'm surprised they wouldn't... I mean, you guys had no training whatsoever in the...
Well, no, I don't want to say that. We were told...
Wait, you don't want to, or you...
Let's just say that's confidential.
Just get your PKE.
I got it.
Are we leaving the beach kit in the car?
Well, we'll run back if we need it.
Right.
Cap
can carry it.
Wait, what, like, buckets for sandcastles? What is that?
Yeah, whatever he needs.
Yeah.
You know.
Situational items.
Smirnoffs, you know. It comes in handy.
By the way.
The beach kit has saved us many a time.
My door's jammed.
You're the engineer, you fix it.
I know, that's nice.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yo.
All right, Doug has just arrived.
Safer than bricks.
I'm sure.
What's slower?
Always get us there.
What's the status?
Well, status is null. We have to search. I'm sure it's going to be nothing again, but...
I mean... Know.
This you get to see the glory of being a Ghostbuster, you know, yeah. 364 days out of a year. This is what it's like.
Nothing happening.
Let's be honest. It's not always glory.
I mean, we probably won't find anything. We may just find some cans laying around and let you have a... Well, I don't know if we can let him have a shot with the proton pack. We can fire a couple rounds.
Yeah, so. Here, sign this.
Yeah. We got waivers, right?
Is that the PKE meter?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. Sorry. We this is standard. We forget to explain this stuff because we're so used to saying, look, nothing. I don't see anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like you guys were saying, you've been here several times. There's nothing come from it. As far as you've determined, this place is completely not haunted. You've been here on a number of occasions.
Yeah, I mean, every time we come here, there's nothing here. So,
what's the protocol?
Well, we're just going to walk around, treat it like it's a serious call. You know, we're going to scan.
I'm going to walk around and just pee on something.
We can still charge for inspections.
We do make it, but if we don't bust it...
I mean, this is official business.
Yeah, it is official business, but at the same time, if a serious emergency comes up and we're not near the firehouse and we need supplies, you know, these kind of things really waste our time.
I'm just going to go find a bed and sleep. I'll see you guys.
Yeah, go find a standard cot somewhere.
You can abandon your cut of whatever we make.
We just won't pay you this week.
I'm going to find him like going up and down the hallways in a wheelchair that he found.
I'm sure this place is filled with, you know, lovely urine-soaked mattresses, so...
Oh, yeah.
It will be.
Yeah. Just standard sweep. Usual business.
Yeah, let's get to work.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Cool. I'm going to stick with Cap because this is your guys' thing, and if he has any questions, I'll explain. But lead the way, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Just give us the rundown, I guess.
I mean, we're going to go in through a side entrance here because the main gate is bolted shut, but kids have been getting in through the side here, and that if that's where they see, you know, the ghosts from, that's where we need to start.
So get ready to find some incredibly not funny graffiti written here on this wall.
Is it not funny? I mean, it's usually pretty funny graffiti.
You'd think that breaking in here and writing something on here, it just says the game. Oh, god damn it. Every time.
And so did everyone listening to this.
Wait, does it count if you're listening and not seeing?
If you think about it, you lose.
Okay, that's right.
Okay, we're through the gate, and we are entering the building right now.
That's how you're hearing. We're on a pretty rough part of town, so the problem is distinguishing actual ghost sounds from just sounds outside.
Sorry.
Oh, that's.
That was definitely not a ghost.
That's why you guys got the goggles and the PKE meters and all that. So
we're gonna take the stairs.
Looks like Riggs has taken the lead going up the stairs.
Take it easy, man.
Are you guys gonna? Are you gonna split up or something? Or
coming up, there's an intersection. You'll see it. We're gonna split up and take point. Doug has the walkie-talkie, and who has the walkie-talkie? So,
yeah, Kevin, you still got topics to talk about. Yeah, it's like nothing.
Yeah. Go nuts, man.
We can talk about horror movies while in this environment. That would be very interesting.
Sure.
And if you guys split up, we can. Well, I guess we'll play it by ear. You gotta do your job and all that. But I have a second recorder. I can give the other team another recorder.
All right, well, you know, if we do split up, we'll probably do this faster.
All right. So, I guess Cap, do you want to explain where we are right now? Like, as far as like what does it look like?
Yeah. There's a lot of graffiti here. We're in. I guess what would have been a waiting room. We came in through the side, so we're in a waiting room, I guess. It's all been stripped. There's no furniture here. There's lots of broken glass.
Guys, don't forget to sign in. They won't see us if we don't sign in.
Yeah, the ghosts. Let's look. Hey, you know, let's take a look at the sign-in book this time. Let's see if there's any new entries. Oh, fucker. Oh, it's you again. That's the sixth time he's in this book. I wonder if fucker is the one who called us.
I can almost guarantee.
So, I mean, no, nothing. Boring. Same as always.
I'm gonna have a look around. I'll be right back.
Alright, just be careful, man. Because all kids aside, it is kind of creepy, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's dark in here. We've all got, for the listeners, we've all got flashlights.
Except for Wall. He's actually right now wearing his goggles.
He is eerily wandering around with no light whatsoever, but he sees fine, so that's good.
That's actually one of the creepier things to get adjusted to, is just him walking around.
He has god eyes. He sees everything before we do.
And part of that is the fact that he wears the goggles.
Are we going to talk about movies or games?
Let's do games. Let's do games.
Let's look at the environment.
This is an interactive experience. So horror games was requested by Korik, and Korik says, "What are the best you've all played? What are the worst? If you could make your own, how would you make it stand out amongst today's horror games?" So that's something to consider as we walk around. Now, granted, we're in an abandoned hospital. The whole thing looks very Silent Hill. Before things turned into rusted iron and grating and all that.
Right, before it got scary.
Well, it was, I feel it was scary, abandoned.
I gotta say, like, you know, Silent Hill 1, once you would beat the school or the hospital and then everything goes back to normal. That was almost creepier when you're walking out and nothing else is coming at you, but the fog has seeped into the building now. Yeah. But it's bright out, but it just had that creepy environment.
I mean, Silent Hill, we can all agree.
Silent Hill is the scariest game.
Silent Hill 2, yeah.
Well, the plot of Silent Hill 2 is better than 1. But 1, like, was the first time you'd ever seen that.
I feel for actual terror and strange feelings in your body, 1 was the strongest for me. 2 was a great game, but
2 had a much better story.
I didn't play much of 2, but 1 was the first video game that definitely scared me, and it wasn't just a startle scare. Like, Resident Evil 2, I played first, and it was scary, but it was like a jump-out scare.
Yeah,
it wasn't
like true, oh god.
Yeah, it wasn't like a true terror, but
liquors,
Silent Hill...
Man. Liquors.
Yeah, no, liquors, exactly.
That's like, it's all about liquors.
Silent Hill 2 was
the environment.
Exactly.
And,
like, if we're going to talk about game noises, environment, Fatal Frame has the best environments.
Okay, so I've been told I should play Fatal Frame for years. I've never played it.
The concept is like... The perfect scary idea is that you can only see the ghosts through your camera lens as they're coming at you. So The ghosts are all around you, and you're getting hurt, but you don't see what they actually look like until you put the camera up to your face.
So they should really make one for the Wii U, then.
We'll let Wall go into it.
Fatal Frame 4. I'm still mad about that game not coming out in the U.S. I mean, I know there's a fan patch for it, but I would just love an official English translation. Namco blames Nintendo for not coming out. Nintendo blames Namco.
Oh, I remember this. Okay, yeah. So there was going to be one for the Wii.
Yeah, yes. It's great from what I understand.
Was it like, I remember the shaking the remote because your flashlight's going
out. Yeah.
Briggs is dancing down this corridor here.
He ain't afraid of no ghosts.
It's true.
Well, were there any ghosts that you guys actually were afraid of, like when you were busting them?
It's European, I can't say.
The giant snake, I think, was... That was the one that really...
I gotta say, because while we're on the subject of Silent Hill, creepy environments, the Orange Grove, the
orange
fog.
Orange Grove's a little weird.
The sexton was terrifying.
Like, what's the sexton?
The sexton was a ghost who had a... Yes,
he did.
He'd throw
us into graves, basically.
He would dig graves and try and bury people alive. So he possessed Briggs and made him walk through the Orange
Grove up, and it was fun. Let's just admit, it was fun.
That was when you guys found Tobin.
Yeah, that was when we met Tobin.
Okay, so it's actually very challenging recording a large group of you. I'm going to split it up into two recorders right now.
We'll
cover more ground.
Yeah. We can do more damage.
I'll take the separate recorder, and since I'll just act as a second interviewer if that's cool with you guys. So
When we split up, we'll split up. You and I will split up, and we'll have the two separate parties, and we'll keep this conversation going about the horror games.
Okay. Hit the record thing on here.
Toast.
All right, walkies are good.
I guess we'll finish the bottom floor if you guys want to go up to the second floor.
Everybody continue your conversations, continue your assessment of this place, and we'll cut back and forth for the episode. And
yeah, we'll be back here in like 5 or 10. And we got the walkies, so...
Well, maybe we should meet back out front?
Yeah, let's meet back out front, because, I mean, seriously, it is creepy. So I'm like, I know you say there's nothing, but I'm still a little creeped out.
Hey, guys, let's have Doug and Cap go to the top floor.
Yeah,
we'll go home.
Yeah, take both cars.
I mean, the air... You hear that? Is that a real siren? Or
most likely, yes.
It's actually...
It's not helping me at all.
No, it's turning into Silent Hill now. Yeah. That's the siren that makes everything...
Oh, okay, what's that?
The building's settling.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to give my professional opinion. Spectral Tiger.
Happy hunting, guys.
Let's go back. I'll meet you guys outside regardless. That's where I'm going to be.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Didn't we just recently play through Fatal Frame? Like, most of the series?
Yeah, 1 and 2... and most of 3. And I don't know, 3 was weird because you only visited the house in a dream, right?
You kept
falling asleep and appearing back in the house. But
tattoos, this weird tattoo.
Yeah, that's right, the tattoo spray all over you.
I never played any of the Fatal Frame, but it always looked really creepy. But I just, was it PlayStation 1 or 2?
PS2.
It was PS2. Okay. But honestly, the thing about it was there'd be certain ghosts
that you'd see throughout the game that sometimes, like, eventually you would find the history of, oh, that one ghost who's notorious for grabbing children and throwing them down the well, and then you're like, oh, that's creepy long arms ghost who's always appearing and scaring the shit out of me, or the ghost whose head is, like, hanging sideways, and you realize it's a woman who, like, hung herself, or, oh, God, one of the best ones as far as creepy things that just happen, which one of my favorite things about survival horror games is when stuff just happens in the background, whether it's a locker slamming or something falling off a shelf, stuff that doesn't necessarily affect the character you're playing as, but in, I think it was Fatal Frame, I want to say 2, where you're going down a flight of stairs and the ghost of a woman who killed herself keeps falling down the stairs in between you and landing and breaking, like, and then she'd hit the ground and then start crawling towards you and you'd have to pull out your camera.
I'm kind of glad I didn't play that.
Oh, man, they were terrifying.
No, the best part about them is you have the ghosts that you fight, and there are also ghosts that you just take pictures of, like residual images that you can find throughout the game.
Like Pokemon Snap.
Basically,
exactly. Like Pokemon
Snap. So you'll find, say,
a Hauntar.
Yeah. Or,
all right, well, we reached the, we're going to continue, but we reached the end of the corridor here. Let's check this out. Like,
yeah, let's roll.
Into another stairwell.
Yeah, the PK.
Yeah.
The windows are blown out on every floor, so it's like it's at least we get a breeze going in here. And
I got nothing.
So, I guess.
Let me know when the beeping picks up and that means something.
Like the PKE meter, Fatal Frame has this game mechanic where your filament turns blue. There's a picture that you can take nearby of like a ghostly remnant. And I played the first one with some friends. You know, lights off, like 2 a.m, trying to, you know, creep ourselves out. And we, like, filament's blue in the middle of this hallway. I'm looking around, trying to find out, like, where is this fucking ghost? So I go into the camera. The entire time you're playing, it's in a third-person perspective, like Resident Evil or Silent Hill. When you open the camera up, it's first person. And I tilt just straight up, and there is a picture, just a skull staring down at us. And it was the creepiest.
Did you guys hear that?
Don't be screwing with me while we're out here. I'm serious. Don't be screwing with me.
It works on ghost hunters.
Oh, yeah, this giant skull staring down at us from the ceiling. And it was one of the scariest parts of that game, just looking up and there it is.
This door is open. Yeah. I'm not kidding. Did you see this?
Yeah,
I'm
looking
right at it. Well, I'm pretty sure we went here last time and closed this.
But the windows are open. It can blow open at any time.
Kids coming and going.
Is that any?
Yeah, no, it's nothing. That's probably just a thing. You can see how
I have to note that Poole did lean his head out the door, look around, and then just immediately come back in. So I'm like, that's. All right, well, let's.
I mean, same idea with the filament from Fatal Frame was just the radio sound from Silent Hill.
Yeah.
I mean, how iconic is just hearing the static, you know? I mean, to this day, if I'm like in anywhere creepy and I hear that. I know that that's not something that. I mean, we have some advanced equipment to tell us when something's nearby, but if I hear static, I'm freaking out.
So we're gonna keep looking. I'm gonna turn on.
Okay. So
get my PKE meter in full swing. See if anything actually happened.
Yeah, so that sound. Our Fatal Frame aficionados are gone, so we got to move on to something else. I mean, obviously we're saying Resident Evil.
Dead Space.
Dead Space is scary. Yeah.
I've played Dead Space a little bit, just the first one. It sort of struck me as sort of a Event Horizon, Aliens, The Thing kind of situation.
Very much so, yeah.
Absolutely. It's much more in common with The Thing than anything else. But I think the most scary thing about Dead Space isn't the aliens, the necromorphs. It's actually the times where you actually have to leave and step out into open space.
Yeah. Well, the second game did more outside in space, and truly the terrifying moments in the second game were when you were outside in space. Because the second game was more action-oriented than the first game, which was very slow, methodical, and creepy as hell.
There's a part in the second game where you have to, like, realign a solar array in space, free-floating.
Yeah.
It is horrifying.
I mean, it's
yeah, there's no sound except for your breathing.
You can
hear
my God.
Inside your suit. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That sounds amazing.
It is very, very well done.
Oh, yeah.
But then it got back to the action parts, which I thought were kind of bland, I'll be honest.
Well, it was like a cheap version of Uncharted or Mass Effect, it felt like, you know?
Yeah. Or even Resident Evil 4.
Yeah. Resident Evil 4 is a great game.
It's a great action game. Sure. And there's some very moody things early on, but it very quickly stops being scary.
The thing I liked about the first Resident Evil was that it was the only one that actually had a good mystery. Because you were in this mansion that you had no reason to be in because you were chased there by zombie dogs.
Yeah.
And then piece by piece, just trying to get out of this mansion, trying to find a way out that isn't the front door because the zombie dog will eat you, you uncover this crazy conspiracy. And things are just super creepy the whole time. Whereas in the other ones, they try to make you have the same creepy moments, but it feels too much like an action game, so it's more about how quickly you can kill things instead of finding out what's actually really going on and being surprised by the kind of horrible things you see.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. That was a weird noise.
Yeah.
No, okay, so most of these rooms have been empty. There's like all like, you know, there's cans on the floor and everything, but do you know what this is just a regular hospital? It wasn't a sanitarium or anything, or
as far as we're aware, it was actually a VA hospital originally, but I think they built another one elsewhere in Orlando afterwards. So it was like, you know, war veterans and stuff like that, but not. Oh, it looks like. Oh, no, I guess that wasn't anything. I got kind of a reading for a second, but
that'll happen from time to time. It'll spike and flux.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just normal.
It could be somebody drives close by with an angry thought. Really, you know, sometimes if it's angry.
Wait, really.
Yeah.
So if I think about something angry, it might spike?
I mean, you have to legitimately be angry and be projecting anger.
Like Mr. Burns. Angry. Kind of deal.
Okay. I'm not even going to play with that just cuz I don't know. I'm really feeling the experience here.
Yeah, it's something you do get used to, but you learn that if you just put one foot in front of the other, eventually you're going to bust a ghost. Even if you're scared out of your mind.
Yep, it's true. And, I mean, Josh is the best at playing one foot in front of the other.
Well, I have you guys played Alan Wake at all?
I haven't.
No? I played bits and pieces. It was really interesting. Great environment and setting and whatnot, I thought.
It's a scary game, but it's not a horror game.
It's more like a thriller, almost like out of a novel.
It's a psychological thriller. Yeah, and it's very novel-like. It's very influenced by Stephen King. You know, and like, is The Shining horror, or is it psychological thriller? Like,
I would say the book is horror. The movie's more like psychological thriller.
And I haven't read the book, so I don't really have a perspective on it. But I'd say it's more like the movie.
Than, yes. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like it. It looks like we're getting a little strangeness here.
Hey guys, have you heard anything?
We're getting kind of a strong reading.
Is he serious? Ask him.
Are you messing with Doug because he's freaking out?
No, we're not messing with you at all. I've got my PKE meter open. It's not super strong, but it's the highest reading I've got from this area.
And I'm not freaking out. I'm just a little weirded out. I mean, the location is definitely not helping. But all right, let me. As long as it's they're hearing a reading wherever they are and we're not, then I'm fine.
Yeah. You getting anything, Walt?
He's not saying anything.
Something spikes momentarily. Maybe on their floor, and you're getting it from the other floor?
Yeah, ask them what floor they're on.
Have you guys had readings at all on your previous visits here?
No, not at all.
What does this mean? I'm seeing like four lights and a sequence of a...
It basically means that we have a high concentration of psychokinetic energy. And that doesn't necessarily mean there's a haunting or a specter or anything like that. It could just mean that the bunch of, like, over the years, people, you know, got together here and were spooked. And now they've, and their energy has built up in a focal point. But that may mean that they were right on calling us.
That was a weird noise.
I thought I heard voices, but I mean, it could be the guys.
All right, guys. Well,
we're kind of far away from us, too far away.
Say again?
What floor are you on?
We're on the sixth floor.
Keep hearing more.
Where
voices.
Are you guys?
On the third floor, but we're getting something above us, so it may be directed towards you guys. Maybe the same thing.
Oh, you guys want to meet in the middle?
Is there a window down there?
There is, yeah.
There is a window.
Okay, I saw a light.
All right, we're on our way to meet you.
I feel kind of bad, because, I mean, I was just looking so my flashlight flickered for a second, but did you ever play Alan Wake on the 360?
I played, like, the first chapter, the introduction thing, and then, like, that the very next one. So it was pretty cool. I didn't get to go super deep in the story because I was just... actually, it was Bjornstad. I was playing at Bjornstad's house because he had the game, and I was playing it there. It was very creepy, and I wanted to play more, but I would have had to just stay there all night and play in the dark, and I wasn't about to do that.
Especially a game that involves dark and light as the main mechanics.
Yeah.
I never really tried to play it. It sounded like it was like a very poor man's Silent Hill.
Yeah, maybe.
It was trying to do like a Twin Peaks thing. Like it was like a television series, which I guess helped the fear aspect of it, where it wasn't like quite as terrifying as something like Fatal Frame. You definitely get into it and into the mythology of it. It was pretty cool. I would recommend playing. I didn't play any of the sequels though.
Let's for safety's sake, let's start the proton packs.
Okay.
Yeah, make it to see something cool.
Yes.
How would that be possible? I mean, you guys have like checked this place out several times. How would that?
Well, it could just be people associating something wrong with an area.
Right.
It's also possible. I don't know. I mean, maybe in the time that we haven't checked it, there was a murder or something in here. I mean,
that is possible.
It's possible. I mean,
it's
unlikely.
It's unlikely, but it is possible. Sorry, my PKE meter cut out there for a second. That was weird.
That
normally doesn't happen now. That's not a good sign.
The Briggs is a mechanic.
I fix things.
There's that light again. You see that?
Yeah, that is a little weird.
What is that?
Well, I'm getting a pretty strong reading.
That noise is like a generator or something. I mean, there's no power.
I don't see any lights. Hold on, guys. We need to meet up now. We're getting something weird.
All right, we're on our way.
Lights,
yeah, we're getting a pretty strong reading. We saw a couple of lights. We heard it sounded like a generator come on.
Plus voices that were not yours.
We had a door open that they said that you guys had closed last time you were here. Like most of the doors in the stairway, this one was stuck open, and there was I don't know, it was a noise. It was like, I don't know what it was. We all heard it first, and I thought I was just hearing things.
Well, we know for a fact somebody else, like a person at least, has been in here.
Someone made the call.
Exactly.
Could that person still be in here just screwing with us?
Yes.
Yeah.
It has happened before.
I'm just saying, are we liable if we take them for a ghost and blast them?
Yes. And you'd be fired on the spot.
And, well, and put in prison.
Well, like, what if it's an accident? Like, I mean, what if he comes out and he's like, ghost-like?
There's a legal name for that. License? Manslaughter.
I don't want to kill anyone. I'm just saying, what if he spooks me and my finger slips?
Shouldn't you already know that? You should already know the answers to this.
Why do you still work here?
Because I'm useful.
Did you guys come up with any other horror games while we were...
We stuck on Fatal Frame for a little bit, and we're talking about Alan Wake a little bit.
We talked about Alan Wake, too.
Hey, that noise is getting more intense.
Is that a normal noise for here, this place?
No.
No.
I've not heard that since we've been here.
No, that's a new one.
All right, what direction does the reading come from?
It came from this this area over here with the light. You're picking up what I got.
There it is.
Yep, that's it.
Is this up or down?
This is downstairs.
You guys were up before?
Yeah, well, we think it was here. Maybe it's one level lower.
Is there a basement in this place?
There's a...
Probably a morgue. Hospitals tend to have, like, a morgue area.
All right.
Let's go check it out.
But you've done it before.
We scan until we find a reading.
But
and
you've
then
been in the morgue before.
No. Of course not.
I didn't even know there was a morgue here. We've scanned this place, walked around, never had a reading... I didn't even realize there was a basement.
Yeah, we didn't open cabinets either.
I opened every cabinet now, by the way. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, and notice we left him in the hallway the entire time.
Topic of horror games, Adam just walked around, just up against the wall, mashing the X button, hoping to find something.
Why does not this game work?
Hey, look, I'm naturally curious.
How do I mind
what
fish?
Is the jump button? What is the jump button?
Hey, everybody, how do you play this game?
Alright, here we go. So, we're climbing... Climbing downstairs.
And you guys have never been down here before?
No, we've never had cause to go down there, actually.
So you didn't think it would be a good idea to check out the place where dead people are kept?
Well, ghosts aren't dead people.
I know you keep telling me this, but I...
I do have to defend it. He's talking... Dead people are corpses. Ghosts are not corpses.
Exactly.
Ghosts are the remnant of the memory or intent of a dead person.
But there's not supposed to be any dead people in here anyway. This thing is this is like...
Or rather, they can be. Sometimes they're just slime monsters. These packs are heavy.
Tell me when we get to the basement. I'm going to throw up.
All right, see if there's a goddamn stairs.
That says more.
That's terrifying.
See, Walt's going through the door because he's got his goggles.
I like going through the door first.
Oh, guys. There's a body on a morgue tray. That's our caller. That's
breathing.
That's fucker.
There's a body in the morgue.
It's like something covered up in like in just with a sheet over them. That's why the guy called us here, trying to scare us.
Yeah, so you can see him breathing.
Ghosts
don't normally do that. That's part of the becoming a ghost thing. Yeah. You stop doing that.
You don't have to do that. Yeah.
People wearing sheets doesn't mean you're a ghost. We'll go in there and tell him his boss. Yeah, get the hell out of here.
All right, let's do that.
All right. Yeah, you know what? Let's give him a big scare. Let's rip the sheet off and let's do the whole nine yards.
Okay. Go ahead.
I want this call again. So.
Put the fear of the Ghostbusters in him.
All right, dude. You had your fun. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Okay, we saw something, some kind of a light. We split up. It's me and Poole and Wall right here. We're outside now.
What the fuck, man? There's never been anything here. That's new.
There's never been anything. No, we checked it twice before. What's that?
Okay.
Oh, shit, what the fuck was that?
You guys usually run away from a ghost?
This is
embarrassing.
Let's get serious. You look like dicks right now.
Ruining our street cred.
All right.
I'm gonna go that we were feeding off of the new blood here, and that's why
it's you
that
guys
got the
fault.
Jump on us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we scared you. That's why we ran.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so...
I never get scared.
So, for sure.
Well, I mean, that was for real in there. I mean, there was... Were we in any danger there? Was it gonna...
No.
No.
No, not even a little... Nope.
No.
We just ran to scare you.
Yeah.
And, so...
To tire it out.
Let's be serious, guys. Like, so that was like, at least the class 3.
At least.
Full torso, free roaming vape.
Yeah. I think that's the fucker that signed in.
I don't think fucker called us.
So are you guys gonna bust it, or just gonna leave it?
We're gonna bust it. Yeah, that's... This is nothing. This is everyday stuff for the Ghostbusters. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
Figured I was going to pull the sheet off and, you know, you guys maybe have, like, not fire, but, like, have them lit up, scare a dude. But
we really need to work on our communication.
Yeah, I think that's the primary thing. That's we'll table that for the next meeting.
All right.
So what are you guys going to do?
All right, guys.
All right.
So what I saw in there was it looked like a human torso wearing... A bunch of rags that, like bandages, like wearing a bunch of bandages that were sort of like floating and billowing, but the face was covered up. I couldn't really make it out. There was sort of like hair tendrils. And like, even though it had bandages, but it looked like it could have been a nurse. The Ghostbusters are, I guess, they're getting their equipment ready to go to go into the hospital and confront this thing. It was very wraith-like, but like not. It was faint. I mean, like it wasn't. I say wraith-like. I don't mean like it was a demon. It was like. It was just sort of like a terrifying visage.
I know Tobin's not here. But let's go hands in on this one, guys.
Paul in too. All
right. They're doing some kind of salute. Some kind of Ghostbusters. Do you guys usually do that before a bust?
Yeah, usually Tobin puts his paw in though, and it's really cute. Yeah. So we just made it a tradition. But now it feels weird because he's not part.
That is pretty cute. I imagine.
I mean, we are dashingly handsome. It's the dog.
The idea of the dog. Right, it's like a cartoon. It's like a cute cartoon dog.
Wait, put our game face.
You gotta line up.
Okay, so I'm following the Ghostbusters back towards the fence, back towards the hospital, and we're gonna try to find this thing and bust it, I guess. It's all quiet. There's nothing going on. Oh shit! The ghost is loose. It's outside. It is outside. It's floating around. The Ghostbusters are surrounding it. They've got their packs are charged and they're igniting their proton streams. Oh my god! It's caught in one of the proton streams and it's flying around though. It's putting up a lot of fight, I guess. It's got those the bandage tendrils are flying everywhere, and oh man, it's coming to pull. It's loose. Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. That was really weird.
Hello, nurse.
Did I miss it?
All right, hey, let's get you up. Let's smoke a trap.
We can let her back out if
you're okay.
How you doing?
I threw up a little.
That's just the slime. It's not
does
throw
he need,
up.
I'm sticky and cold.
Reduce the negative energy.
I just
want
to scoot
here
over for a second. I think I got it.
Are you with the house?
Why are you slapping me more?
You remember that band Wham?
Are you okay?
Wham?
Yeah. Remember that song they sang?
I hate that song.
Good.
The music video was really shitty.
All George Michaels were, weren't they? Am I right?
Why do I feel like this?
we'll put him in the back of
Come on, let's get back to the one.
She got the ghost though, right?
Oh yeah, she's good. She's good.
Oh my god.
Oh no, back off. You don't want to touch it.
See that smoke? That burns.
I really feel a connection with her. She's gonna be okay, right?
She's gonna be great.
Yeah, we're gonna have to transfer her to me. It's gonna be a problem.
Remember how unhappy she was? Reverse of that.
I thought she was scary. I don't think she's scary anymore.
She just
I think she's. No, she. I think she was just really upset. She was having a really bad day. You
not
know,
like you, bud.
No, man. This has been Josh. Josh, thank you so much. This is so much fun.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad you came. Glad to have you with us. You were
oh,
a lot
my
of,
God. Awesome. Oh, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
We don't even have bait that responds this well.
No. Let's get him a proton pack. Let's see how he does.
Let's not do that, actually.
I would love to. Can I just tear this place up? I just like.
I mean, I'm for it. I think we should.
I don't think that's good.
You know,
we can always. Yeah.
Mouth noises are fucking amazing.
Not it.
Why did everybody sound real bummed out just there?
Afterwards, 1, 2, 3, not it.
Not it. Hey, we got towels in the beach kit,
and we got a hose back at the fire station.
So far, we have two not it.
Hey, not it.
All right, I'll do it. It's a hose. It's a hose, and half that stuff disperses by the time we're done anyway. Whatever. It's on me. All right?
Woo! Woo! Ghostbusters! I'm a Ghostbuster now! Oh, man. Buster made me feel so good! God damn it!
Damn!
Woo! Let's go! Okay, guys, so
have mellowed out a bit, toweled off. We've reconvened. We're at the Geek Easy in the back of a comic shop, their bar and lounge. We all got drinks and sandwiches.
Delicious specialty grilled cheese
Deluxe
sandwiches.
Grilled cheese, yeah.
Orchard
on tap.
A Cuban grilled cheese. Yeah, the guys got Angry Orchard. So we got one more microshow to do. Man, I tell you what, that was fucking nuts out there, dude.
All day's work.
Yeah. That's an average day for us.
Y'all, welcome to the Has-Been Slimed Club.
Yeah. I still feel pretty weird.
You're gonna.
We got one more left to go. This microsode, horror movies, requested by Vistas Clemency. He says, I would like to request a topic that I am passionate about, horror films. I myself specialize in the found footage genre of horror, but I would love to get your views on the different genres of horror from slasher to Japanese-inspired films. That's a tall order. It's a whole genre.
Can we all agree that the best horror film for the purposes of horror is The Thing? Like,
I agree.
Can we get that out of the way?
I agree.
We can do that.
I think it would be tough to argue, because I can't think of another movie that's pure horror that does it better.
Alien does a great job.
But that's heavy on the sci-fi and less of a pure horror.
But does it have to be a pure horror film to be a great horror film? Is that necessary?
I think Alien's a phenomenal movie, but I think The Thing is a better one.
I need to correct myself, because I just said that The Thing is a pure horror, but Alien may not be pure horror. They're both about aliens.
Yeah,
bursting out of people.
Versus the two of them, The Thing is written better, is way more complex, and at the end, you're left with more scary questions than you started.
Yeah, a good horror film. I think a good horror film ends and you leave the theater terrified. Whereas, like, Alien, that movie ends and you're like, oh man, what a ride. Like, that was good and that was intense, but oh man, the nightmare is over, hopefully.
I'll still give it to Alien.
Yeah. But when The Thing ends, you're just sort of like, what the fuck?
You're looking at the people around you like, you.
You're The Thing.
Like, a good horror film leaves you with that paranoid feeling or like a scared thing, you know? I don't know. The one that makes you afraid to walk to your car after you get out.
The best horror films are horror films that you can still experience in a natural state as an adult. Because I know that we got Empire Strikes Back on in the background here, if you guys are hearing weird noises. Millennium Falcon is landing on Bespin right now. So
that's just how it happens at the Geek Easy.
I know as a kid, I was like terrified of some stuff that I saw. I remember I would usually wake up really early to watch cartoons. And some days I woke up so early that I was hours away from that programming starting. I don't know how early it was. It was crazy early. One early morning, I think just to fuck with children, they were airing, and this is not even on cable, it's on basic television, they were airing a documentary on the Freddy Krueger series thus so far. And they were showing, I mean, it wasn't completely explicit or anything, but they were showing some pretty gruesome, horrifying stuff. Girl turns into a cockroach and gets crushed inside of her bedroom.
That's the worst scene in any Freddy Nightmare on Elm Street movie. That one, I think, has stuck with me throughout the ages.
Dude, I don't know. For Freddy, and as far as the...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Slasher, big scale. I've never been a big Friday the 13th guy. Loved Halloween.
Loved Halloween too.
Halloween's just great, but I think that's a lot of
John Carpenter. I also love Halloween too, but yeah.
Which,
and H2O.
The same movie, just the second half of it. But Nightmare on Elm Street, man. I remember when I was a kid, I was in fifth grade, and I had a birthday party where my friends came over, and we watched the first Predator movie,
the first Alien movie, and then Nightmare on Elm Street. Problem is that we watched them in that order.
Right.
So it's 1 in the morning, and we're starting Nightmare on Elm Street, and all of us are kind of dozing off because we're in fifth grade. I don't know why my parents agreed to this. And
they wanted to laugh at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know. And that scene where she's falling asleep in class and seeing her friend around the school in a body bag talking to her, like, traumatized me. Like, that just literally messed with my head. Like, the idea of, I'm done watching that movie. I'm going to go lay in bed and go to sleep.
And see, that's the best possible way to see that film, because what I was getting is that, like, as a kid, those movies were terrifying. Yeah. But as an adult, they're funny.
Yeah.
Like, see, here's the thing. Would you call Nightmare on Elm Street a horror film?
Absolutely.
Or a slasher film?
No, it's a horror film.
It's supposed to be a horror film.
I would say that that's a horror.
I mean, slasher is a elements, slasher is a subset of the horror genre.
I would say
so.
Halloween is a slasher horror.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But I think Nightmare on Elm Street is full
horror slasher, maybe? Like, that way around?
I don't know.
Well, like, there's a nemesis, and I guess that, like, a nemesis with knives is what constitutes a slasher film. But Freddy's so metaphysical, you know? If he kills you with his knives, he kills you with his knives because he's...
Jason Voorhees is metaphysical. Physical. I think
Jason Voorhees is just a fucking zombie.
Or he's his own mother.
Oh, yeah, he's his like mom psycho. Or he's a zombie with a knife.
Well, he's obviously way more powerful than just a zombie because he gets fucking beheaded and all.
And he ends up in space eventually.
Yeah, it's true. The most canonical of all.
Okay, hold on. Let's talk Hellraiser.
Before we talk Hellraiser, that's okay.
raw horror.
I know you can. I didn't grow up on Star Wars like most of the people at the table here. Or Star Trek. I was horror films for me.
That's a very special upbringing, Jordan.
Yeah. Which horror film as a child gave you the most nightmares?
Ooh. I can tell you, I'm a little ashamed.
But don't be ashamed. You were a child.
Yeah, I was a child.
Bambi.
You lost his dad. I only remember getting a nightmare based on a film when I was younger because I didn't know what the context was, and I just started watching TV, and it was later at night or whatever, and I was like falling asleep. And I watched the scene from Child's Play where the mom is like, talk or I throw you in the fire. I had no idea what I was watching. And then he's like, you fucking bitch. Scared the shit out of me. And I was just like, I mean, I didn't scream or anything. I was just a kid terrified watching a TV screen. I'm like, that was fucked up. And then like maybe, I don't know, like a month or so later, I just had a dream that I was in a mall somewhere, like in a toy store. And that Chucky just out of a pile of toys leapt out. Stabbed me in the back and pulled me to the ground.
Why are you ashamed of that? That is what Child's Play was meant to invoke.
Because the movie, I saw it again as an adult, and I'm just like, oh, it's not what I thought it was. Like, you had this, when you see a movie as a kid and it terrifies you, and then you're like afraid to go back and see it. Like, I know Nina, she was terrified of the wolf from Neverending Story.
Gamora.
Yeah, but when you grow up and you see it, you're like, oh, it's not as terrifying as I remember.
It is completely
a fraction less.
I think that is still the scariest movie nemesis.
But you know, there are still adults who still react very violently in horror films. They just like the shock, like, oh my god, don't go in there. You know, like people react that way. And is it because they haven't been desensitized to horror films? They didn't have a nerdy science fiction kind of upbringing where they would have experienced these things, and so it's like a gauntlet that you have to go through before you get desensitized enough to sort of the cheap spills and leaps don't get you or something.
Well, the cheap thrills just startle me. They don't terrify me.
Right.
Like, you're not gonna have a nightmare over being surprised.
Yeah. I mean, every scary movie has a cheap startle moment where it's just like, oh, it's just my buddy's hand on my shoulder or whatever. That's not what I have nightmares about. I have nightmares about after I see the trailer for Gravity and I get stuck in outer space. Those are my nightmares. You know, it's never like, I never have a nightmare where someone hits me on the shoulder and I turn and it's my friend.
One of the most perfect moments in horror cinema of all time is the initial sequence in Halloween where Laurie feels like she's being followed by Michael Myers, and like she sees him in the clotheslines.
Yeah,
drawing.
Looking out the back window.
Because everybody has a fear of being watched by something, and what you think of when you think of that fear is like is the idea of a person. The more details you see about a person, kind of the less terrifying it becomes. But when it's just a shape, as Michael Myers was referred to as in the original script, the shape. It's very terrifying, and that's something that only happens the first time you watch the film, probably. It gets watered down every time after that. But that moment is so good. It's so important to all of cinema.
See,
blank Captain Kirk spray painted
mask. Well, the you make a good point. I would say, I feel like it should be
a horror film, because I think thriller and horror are really interchangeable. It just turns, like, a lot of people say, well, a thriller is when it's not supernatural, or when you're with the, when you know what's going on the whole time. The scene in Silence of the Lambs, where it's the opposite end, where it's complete blackness, and you're seeing it through the killer's eyes.
Yeah, that's the real.
You're seeing it through the killer's eyes and
reaching
watching
out
her have that,
the back of,
have that same thing.
Clarice.
That's horrifying. That's a scene straight out of a horror
that
movie.
That is a scene where your heart is pumping. And
But I would say that that scene, although it's horrific, I would still say that that counts as a thriller.
Sure.
Whereas a horror, to me, is when you're like, you learn something that's dark. It's like something that gets revealed, where it's like, oh, can humanity be that bad? No, it's worse. Like, when the killer isn't just killing people, he's doing something even worse.
I guess horror is something that, evokes genuine fear. It's not necessarily just, like, anxiety. It's actually
unsettled.
Because, tonight in the hospital, that was horror. Like, not for me, personally, not a working stiff in this field like you guys, but, like, I'm not sure it really translated in the audio, but the feeling when that drape went off and it wasn't like a drifter or whatever.
Because it was something that was revealed to you.
I mean, like, and there was a feeling, there was a sense of it. In that room, like it's kind of indescribable. It's like it was like dry air with a chill in it that affects your skin but not your warmth. It was very strange. And then, of course, being hit by the fucking thing. I mean, like, that was less the experience of it coming at me was less jarring than the actual, like, psychological trauma of it appearing suddenly and trying to figure out what I even saw.
Definitely.
It's a thing.
I heard that the idea is, like, there's different states that your brain is in when you're afraid and when you're, having high anxiety, and your perception of time changes. When you're watching a thriller, say, for example, the end of Silence of the Lambs, and you're seeing this hand reach for her, you're living in that instant moment. You don't know what's going to happen next. You kind of forget whatever happened 5 minutes ago. You're in that moment. You're there, and you're anxious to see what happens next. In true horror, you lose all sense of time because you don't know what the fuck is going on.
Here's where I completely disagree with you.
Okay.
Only for that scene in a thriller movie is that scene populates the darkness of every room you ever walk into.
Yeah.
It's true. From then on out.
But in
a thriller movie, you're more worried about the character. In horror, it kind of unsettles you about the fundamental nature of reality.
There you go.
No, like, I would agree.
Now, I didn't get an answer, Cap. What film gave you a nightmare as a child?
It's weird because I didn't have ready access to horror films. My parents were very, like, getting a hold of a rated R film was a challenge. And when I got into horror, Like, I mean, it was like my friends and I in middle school and high school, like, devouring it. So I wasn't, like, I didn't have the same sort of child mentality where it was going to creep into me. The Freddy Krueger stuff messed me up. It didn't give me, like, nightmares exactly, but it made me really uncertain of things. One of the things that haunted me the most as a kid was actually a documentary about Amelia Earhart. I was paranoid that her ghost, you know, because at that time
she's lost.
At that time, nobody knew even remotely where she was. Like, now we figure out she probably died on this island.
Just like how horrible it would be for her to be alone or whatever.
That she could, you know, she could be anywhere, and all we found are these fragments of where she was, and just the idea of, like, a lost dead person staring at you while you're sleeping. I don't know why it was that. I think maybe I had a dream at the time that maybe projected that. I don't know.
Is that why Slender Man's so scary?
Maybe it's related.
But you don't even know what he looks like.
I'm really glad that you said that, because I think one of the scariest things for me when I was a little kid wasn't a horror movie. It was some shitty late night thing. I was like 8 years old. It's called, like, Incident in Lake County.
Uh-huh.
It's about this family that has, like, this big reunion, big get together out in the middle of the woods, middle of nowhere in the country, and a UFO lands nearby, and they go out and they're like, well, what the fuck? There's, like, lights and noise, can see what's going on, and then they see just aliens cutting up cows, and they get spotted. The next hour is just these aliens, like, tormenting this family, them freaking out because one of them, like, gets inside the house. And
dude, you're talking about Run with the Water, right?
No, not Signs.
It's like some shit, like, made for TV documentary. It's called, like, Incident in Lake County or, like, Abduction in Lake County.
I remember, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, but I know what you're talking
the
about.
The scariest part of that was, this is what gave me the nightmare, is, like, at the end of it, like, the last remaining family member, like, runs upstairs, and he's upstairs in his room. He's, like, freaking out because one of them got in the house, they shot it through a door, and he just runs, he books it. He's got the camera set down in his room, and his door is wide open, and his door closes, and behind it is just a grave. And it walks over to him,
like picks up the camera, points the camera at him, looks into the camera, sets it down, and just walks off screen. And the kid gets up like nothing fucking happens, just goes back downstairs to his family. Like,
well, again,
I look behind my door every night.
Again, I think more of that is just the idea of what's happening when I'm not paying attention that is just there. You
know, like, that goes back to what Josh was saying, where it's like, when you're saying like the difference between horror and thriller, which when I was talking about like the sense of time or whatever, that's like in the moment when you're watching the film. But I agree that true horror, it messes with you after the movie is over. Like, well, it leaves something with you.
In thriller, I think the reason is you're worried for the character.
Yeah.
Like Cape Fear.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Like, I don't go home thinking maybe Robert De Niro's under my bed or under my car.
Under my car.
Yeah, yeah. I don't worry about that. But in the movie, you're scared
for
them.
For the character.
You're scared for them. But horror, even if you are scared for them, you go home, then you get scared for yourself.
And that's that one scene in Silence of the Lambs is horrifying.
a good example like is Blair Witch Project or Paranormal Activity, where it's like
this is dealing with the reality horror.
Yeah, the found footage. Yeah, the idea being like, I mean, the found footage genre, I don't have any particular strong feelings about, but I did like Paranormal Activity because see what you will about the movie, but when I got home, it made my home a little bit creepier. Like, I didn't expect anything to jump out at me, but it was just a little bit creepy.
My thing was the concept of the girl standing next to the bed.
Yeah,
and the time lapse of her just standing there, slowly rocking back and forth.
Dude, no. For me, it was the shot of her getting yanked by the leg out of the bed and dragged down the hallway.
Oh yeah, everyone lost
that was
shit in the theater.
So real. Like, I you don't see how they faked it at all. Like, she comes up, her leg comes out of the bed, she gets dropped
and
slammed on the ground and yanked all the way down the hallway in full view of the camera.
Well, the thing about that was that movie had such good pacing as far as like it's built up slowly, slowly, and then it's like, well, we just crossed that line.
But there are some people who think the pacing is terrible and they just don't like that movie at all. They don't like any of the found footage stuff because they feel like it just feels too amateurish.
But that's probably people who prefer like a slasher type film.
Right.
Which is totally valid. It's just completely different.
But generally, unless you're seeing it as a kid, or unless it's something like really special, like the first time you see Halloween, a slasher film is more of the horror equivalent of an action movie.
Exactly.
It's horror by nature of its content, but not actually by. I mean, you might be paranoid about a killer, right? But like you're saying, it's about how it affects your personal feelings about your reality.
Yeah.
And I think that's why things like Alan Wake is a video game, and then conversely, the thing that inspired it, Twin Peaks, works so well because like that show, it's a funny show, but it's also a horrifying show. Like, not terrifying, horrifying. That show is about fearing the dark. I feel like that's one of the core motivating things behind the show is a fear of the dark, a fear of the unknown. You go out to the woods without a flashlight on, and the entire universe is out to get you. You're as afraid as a human has ever been afraid in the wilderness, as a Cro-Magnon.
Right? Every day of my life, for me as a kid, because I was allowed to watch Poltergeist when I was four, you know, like, none of that stuff bothered me.
That was a good one. I didn't see it very young, but I saw that one young.
So, yeah, Poltergeist is fantastic, and I loved it as a kid. But I think the one I watched over and over as a kid was The Gate. Have you guys ever seen it?
Oh, my...
With Stephen
Dorff. My fucking God. Oh, okay, so I saw The Gate at a really young age on my non-cable television. This is how it happened. Middle of the afternoon. It should not have been terrifying, The Gate. It's not. If you see the entire film, it kind of doesn't like live up to everything. But you see just parts of it. It's about this suburban environment where these kids, like this tree gets struck by lightning in the backyard, and there's a hole.
While they're playing heavy metal backwards on the record player, to invoke like Satan, see if it works.
And it sounds really funny, but when you see it, you kind of like it happens, and you're like, was that a dream, or did that terrifying thing really happen to them? And you start to realize, like, what's real? The parents get kind of, like, taken out of the scenario, and Han Solo just got frozen in carbonite.
It's very dramatic.
And when your house is being built, one of the guys who built it, he died on the job, and they buried him in the walls, and then it fucking happens, like all this terrible stuff.
The guy breaks out of the walls and starts chasing them.
And you don't even see it fucking coming, like at least not as a little kid. Like it just, but then it just happens, and you're like, oh my fucking god.
The point is that
terrified middle of the day.
You don't invoke this ritual that they invoked unless you want to use the power of hell.
right? So, but they don't know that, and like
they just think it's like Bloody Mary or whatever.
Right, and Stephen, young Stephen Dorff, like child Stephen Dorff, is the main character, and like demons break into his house, and then a giant like Harryhausen claymation demon comes up, and like you think it's gonna like eat him, but it like bows to him and shit. He opens his hand, and there's an eyeball in his hand looking back at him, and he's like, yeah, because he's turning into a demon. In the context he doesn't want to, and that's what's kind of horrifying. But I don't know what it was about that movie. I never found it scary. It was just really intense, and the kid was the main character, and I was all about it. I was like, I could do this shit if I were in his shoes.
I think part
and
of
you're a Ghostbuster.
Part of it terrifying me, I think, was in a large part due to me not seeing it fully in context.
Sure.
And not knowing what to expect.
Well, the small demons are really, 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 really creepy. They come out of the hole. There's like 20 of them.
Yeah,
they're like claymation tiny people.
There's a children's film called Mother Goose Rock and Rhyme, starring Shelley Duvall and Paul Simon and a bunch of other people, and it's a really cool, funky late 80s early 90s artifact. But I saw it as a kid out of context when I was
in
preschool.
I'm pretty sure I know what you're talking about, actually.
It has insane set designs. It's directed by a really, really great music video director who did the Tom Petty music video where he's the Mad Hatter, Don't Come Around Here No More. But the thing about this movie is it's a world of nursery rhymes. The nursery rhymes start disappearing and people just vanish. You're talking to somebody, you turn around, and they're gone. And this film is all live-action actors in bizarre sets. So I was watching this on like a half day or something in preschool. We never finished the film. And it's all about...
Oh, Jesus.
And it was all about people disappearing and never coming back. And you'll go back to find somebody, and they're not there. And you don't know... And it's like, it was terrifying. I've got all these weird things that aren't horror movies that scare me as a kid.
I think you're also describing the movie Identity with John Cusack.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Oh, man. Dude, Identity... Anyone here else see Identity?
No.
It
looked pretty good.
Dude, I won't spoil anything, but I'll just say that it's like... That movie starts off with, you know, like eight strangers trapped at this hotel because the roads are washed out and it's raining or whatever, and people start disappearing, and it sounds a lot like that, where, dude, people start... First of all, people start getting murdered. Then the bodies start disappearing, and just when you're like, what the fuck is going on? That movie had me hook, line, and sinker until the third act. And that's such a sad thing. When you're
Wait,
watching.
Is that the one it's in a motel?
Yeah, the motel.
I did see it. I saw it in theaters, yeah.
Yeah, and I just remember, like, third act happens, and I'm just like, oh, man, just at the middle of the movie, when everyone's disappearing, and just when every character is realizing what the fuck is going on, something supernatural's got to be happening, then third act begins, and then I'm like, oh, that's what we were doing? Oh, okay. And, I mean, the movie was good up until that point, but... I don't
remember much about it. I just remember being really let down at the end.
Exactly. But it's like, I'm trying to think of another horror film that may have done that where it's just like, oh, the setup is great.
I have one.
Yeah, what?
Sinister.
Oh, you're telling me.
Sinister was the perfect example.
Oh, you told me about this one, yeah.
About how you start a horror film. That movie had me 100%. It's about an author who writes criminal investigation books about real crimes that happen. And he got famous because a couple times he solved crimes after it had already been left for, you know, the wrong person had been convicted or things like that. Like, that's this guy's job. Moves into a new house with his family. And he's like, yeah, no, I haven't written anything good in a while. This is going to be the new one. What he doesn't tell his family is that he moved into the house that the last people were killed in. Like, it was a horrible murder, and you see the murder at the beginning of the movie on Super 8 footage. So it kind of crosses...
I think I saw the trailer for this. This was recently?
It was
last year.
I'm telling you, up to the exact halfway point, this movie is the best horror movie you've ever seen. No joke,
wow.
No exaggeration. It will get you hook, line, and sinker. And it's the way it's filmed. Like, there's films because he's always up late where his family is sleeping, and he's at the bottom of the screen, and there's just blackness behind him. And there's big black spaces on the screen. And you think at any moment, while he's watching these films that he finds in his attic of other murders, that something's going to pop out and take it. And it never happens. And it always it's so unsettling the way it's filmed. And then at the halfway point, like, ghosts start showing up that he can't see. And if he can't see them, it doesn't fucking matter. It's just a cheap scare tactic.
Right.
It's meant to scare the audience, not to scare him. And then, like, the big monster or whatever... It starts making appearances in the film, and which kind of undermines the point of the movie. To go into it real quick, the point of the movie is, if you see the image of this god of images, it gives him power. And his image if you look closely, he's in every one of the films he runs. So he starts looking at him more, and he zooms in, and he has it on his laptop while he's on making phone calls, trying to figure out what it is. And the whole time, you're looking at the image of this thing too. So it's really unsettling.
Oh, it's like the Ring, like, which I think was a brilliant, absolutely brilliant method.
It's like that.
And, man, I remember they promoted the Ring by sending people press copies of the footage that you see, and I was in a comic store, and it was just playing on the TV screen. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then when my friends realized what it was, we're like, oh my god, we don't have long to live. we're going to die soon.
In Sinister, the problem is that you see the image of him, and it's just on the screen the whole time, and it just unsettles you every time you see it, because you know what you're looking at, and the fact that you're seeing it, and everybody in the audience is seeing it too, gives the character in this movie power.
Right.
But then, like, it'll do cheap stuff where when he's not looking, exactly halfway through the film, when he's not looking, the image will turn and look at him and then go back to normal. And that's just cheap. It's cheap and
stupid.
Because
the main character didn't see it.
The main character doesn't see it, and it doesn't matter. It's not looking at you, you know? Like, it's not part of the story that happens to the main character. But I recommend seeing it because it does so much stuff right up until the halfway point that you really want to find out what happens. And then when it does, you don't know why. It's hard for you to figure out why you're underwhelmed, but it's some of the best found footage horror you've ever seen in your life.
I was going to say, the found footage thing, this could tie into the Japanese horror film thing, because I don't know much about Japanese horror films, but when Paranormal Activity came out, it was a huge hit. Apparently it was a huge hit in Japan. Japan made an unauthorized sequel to Paranormal Activity. Have you heard about this?
No.
Yeah, it's called Paranomoru.
It's basically a remake of the first film, but in Japan. But it's called, like, Paranormal Activity 2 Tokyo version
Drift.
Or whatever. Yeah. Tokyo Drift. It may as well have been. So, like, the first Paranormal Activity is just two people, they move into a house, and the one girl, she has, you know, experience with demons. In the Tokyo version, it's like this, I think it's a brother coming home to his sister, but he's been in an accident recently, so he's paralyzed in a wheelchair or something. It's just way more tragic and just, like, way more sad, and then these people get shit on by a demon. Like, it's like let's take a scary idea that happens to normal people, but now let's make the people really tragic and like, just in a terrible situation, living in a small Japanese apartment, and now all this terrible stuff happens. But apparently that was obviously unauthorized before the actual sequel to Paranormal Activity came out. But I remember through the Wikipedia finding me like, what the fuck is this? How many unauthorized Japanese sequels are there? Apparently there's a few.
So you mentioned this earlier, The Ring.
But back to the Japanese.
Significantly, well, this is the American version, not Ringu.
Right, right.
Although I will say, Ju-on versus The Grudge. Way better than The Grudge.
I will say, The Grudge got me in theaters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, in theaters, solid.
I remember I watched, and you know, the first Army of Darkness, that was one that I saw early that did a number on me.
Evil Dead?
Sorry, that's what I meant. Evil Dead, yeah. Yeah. Jesus Christ, fucking
dude, the scene where she's possessed and, like, floating above the thing, for some reason, that always actually bothered
me. Oh, man, I think the scariest thing is when she's in the basement.
Oh, like, poke her.
Yeah, poke her.
Yeah, Evil Dead 2 is Evil Dead 2 Dead by Dawn.
Yeah,
well, Evil Dead 2 is a joke.
Like, yeah, Evil Dead 2, like, was it in number 2 or was it in the first movie where she's screaming, "Dead by Dawn, you'll be dead by Dawn," slamming?
I think that's in both, honestly.
Because I can't remember which, but I remember seeing that, and the whole movie, like, it was creepy, but it didn't really, like, frighten me until she just starts repeating, "Dead by Dawn, Dead by Dawn," and whatever.
Then it's definitely the first one.
Yeah.
Because it was just the second one, it's comical.
No, the first one is just, I mean, I guess it was the first one, but I remember just thinking, this is unsettling, the fact that it's trapped, but it still is happy. Like, it still knows it's going to win, basically. And
so, back to The Ring.
Sorry, yeah.
No, this is one of the cheapest horror things that's ever gotten me, and I was really ashamed of it afterwards, but I watched The Ring with my sister. I was probably in early high school, I guess. She was in middle school. We watched The Ring together late at night, not even lights off, just, like, in the living room, lights are on or whatever. Movie finishes. And we're like, okay, yeah, that was pretty creepy. Yeah, that's pretty eerie. And it cuts back to the DVD menu, and it's completely silent, and it just shows, like, the video in the background. And then it makes the sound of a phone ringing, but it does it through surround sound, which we have set up. So it comes through our back speaker next to where our house phone is, and both of us turned and looked at each other, and our blood stopped. Like, it was just like,
dude, whoever thought of that is a genius.
My God, like,
seriously.
Because it wasn't like the beginning of it, it was like maybe 15 seconds in the DVD menu, just silence, 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 phone rings, and both of us just, oh my god, it killed me. Like, that was whew, way scarier than the movie. Like,
well played.
That really is really
cool. Genius. The movie that scared me most when I was a kid was Pumpkinhead.
Pumpkinhead.
Wow. Pumpkinhead gave me more nightmares than anything. And I think it's just because of how it was like the Terminator as an evil monster that could not, like, that literally could not be stopped. Sarah Connor could not stop Pumpkinhead. Because you can't harm him unless you shoot Lance Henriksen.
Which the Terminator did shoot Lance Henriksen in the Terminator, she's fine.
No, but the idea that like his kills were so brutal too. Like, he would yank kids into the tree and carve a cross into their forehead and then jam his finger through their skull. It was brutal. It gave me nightmares as a kid for a long time.
For some reason, for me though, like, slasher flicks have never, like, scared me. Like, in the because it's like, oh, killers are genuinely scary, regardless of whether there's a mask on them or not. Killers are bad. We all agree. And horror ghosts that never really got me, for some reason, it's always backwoods America. And I haven't even seen most of them, but, like, Hostel,
like the Hills Have Eyes or
yeah,
the Crazies?
For some reason, any of that stuff where it's just like, I'm in an area where people have made up their own minds of the way that they're acting, and it's all inbred, and I don't know, for some reason that messes me
Texas
up.
Chainsaw Massacre.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is where I started it. Yeah, like, oh god, for some reason that will...
Now, earlier you brought up Hellraiser.
Yes, yes.
You want to talk about that for a little
bit? Hellraiser, I didn't see when I was a kid. I saw maybe 3 years ago. And still, to this day, Hellraiser 1 and 2, like, hold up and are amazing. Yeah. Like, the Cenobites, absolutely terrifying.
I think what's scary about the Hellraiser films is that they basically introduce these characters, which are dressed as super butchers, from hell. But the idea is that the most horrible things you can think of, like, even the feelings of the most horrible things, experiencing those horrible things, are the best thing that somebody's ever gone through for somebody. And that's what these super butchers are. They want to deliver that knowledge to you of how the most horrible thing you could imagine could be the best thing that's ever happened to you. And it's horrifying. Like, especially in Hellraiser 2, the doctor.
Yes.
The lady drags him to the labyrinth that's ruled by Leviathan, and it shines the light on him and shows him everything horrible he's ever done. And he doesn't want to be there. He wants knowledge, but he doesn't want to become a Cenobite. But this box comes up, and she shoves him in it, and he's like, no, don't, I don't want to do this. And it, like, straps wires across his head, injects him with chemicals, completely drains the blood, like, monsters suck on his face and drags him down to the depths of the labyrinth. Cut away, the lady's arguing with the Cenobites, and it's like, listen, you gotta help me, because this guy's this thing, and you used to be humans. I know that now, you're not just demons. You used to be humans, but you turned into this. And they cut back, and the box comes back up, and the doctor steps out, completely transformed by this stuff, and his first words are, and to think, I hesitated. Like, I remember as a kid, that ruined me for a little while. My mind was blown. That was like...
Adam, did you ever have a movie that scared you as a kid?
See, this is weird. I watched Alien and Predator when I was very young with my dad. Both unnerved me, considering, I was a kid.
Heroes win at the end.
The heroes win at the end, yeah. But, I mean, there are moments where I was just like, oh, fuck that shit,
Oh, yeah.
If you can get through Alien to find out the heroes win at the end.
Yeah. But
or the one survives.
I've never...
Or Aliens. Aliens or Alien?
Aliens.
Okay,
yeah.
She wins.
Yeah. But I've never been a massive horror, fan. Like, I don't go out of my way to watch them. It's not because I'm kind of scared. As an adult, I watch some, and I'm like, man, I get bored. Like, Mike knows when I watch him play Fatal Frame, I call out the obvious scare when it's coming. Like, and I'm just like, and I completely desensitize myself to it, so I always get really bored.
He's actually really not fun to watch horror movies.
He's really
yeah,
fun.
I get...
We watched Event Horizon with him, and the entire time he was like, this movie's dumb.
There's only a handful of horror movies I like. I like The Thing a lot. That one is legitimately scary.
Well, the Thing is 12 Angry Men plus an alien.
Yeah.
It's genius.
I guess I should be ashamed of this. When I was a kid, the one thing that unsettled me more than any film, more than Alien, more than Predator, was Ernest Scared Stupid. I'm not going to lie.
That's legit.
They made some scary shit in there.
Dude, yeah. I'm telling you, I went to go see Ernest Scared Stupid in theaters, and I remember I was creeped out by it.
Yeah.
I didn't freak out, but dude, several kids in the theater freaked out. One dad had to take his kid home.
Yeah.
Like, they got up and left, and the movie wasn't even halfway over.
Because I think the idea of, like, these creatures turning children, like, into
lifeless wooden blocks.
And like, they were creepy, too.
It was horrible. Like,
yeah,
it was,
and it defied physics because, like, it would hide under your bed. You wouldn't see it until the last second and everything.
Yeah. Colin from Nerdy Show, he had a horrifying experience we discussed in, I think, our Obscure Movies microsode. There's an anime called Unico. There's two of them. And people are turned into these featureless, like, stone dolls. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, children are turned into these things. And the surreal, impossible nature of it and the simplicity of the final result is, like, is horrifying.
Yeah.
The nature of Return to Oz is also pretty horrifying as a child. Like, the Wheelers and the Gnome King and the Desert of Death, like, all these horrible things. Like, there's no happy moment in that entire movie. Like, she starts in an insane asylum. Escapes to Oz, which is horrible, and all her friends have been turned into lifeless statues, and she has to fight this gnome king who lives in stone and will just appear looking at her when she's not looking.
And a headless witch or whatever.
Yeah, it's horrible.
As an adult,
Queen
one movie that still to this day unsettles me because is The Others. I don't know why. That movie still to this day, I'm just
it's
like,
a good movie.
It's, you know what's coming, and you know you can do nothing to stop it. That, for some reason, I don't know why, that movie bothered me more. It bothered me more than The Thing, and it bothered me more than any other horror movie.
Well, also the way the movie unfolds, I won't spoil, but just like it makes you think about things.
Yeah, no, it's because it plays off your childhood fears of what's in the closet. You know, like my dad used to go, "Oh, better keep the closet door cracked a little bit so the boogie or was it is it cracked or is it closed so the boogeyman can't get through."
Well, it would make sense that it had to be closed that he wouldn't get through.
I can't remember what it was, but like, but it plays off that exact, like, that very simple childhood fear.
If your dad's scaring you like that, no wonder you turn out to be a Ghostbuster.
Well, I mean, it wasn't.
There's that and the...
It's like telling you the rules. Don't do this. The boogeyman's going to get you. Do this instead. Thanks, Dad.
Was your boogeyman a spectral tiger?
I did live with Grimoire for a while.
So. Yeah, I think Hellraiser should really be its own genre of horror.
That's definitely
true. That's like almost borderline Lovecraftian horror.
There's a whole section for like the impossible surreal horror, a Phantasm and In the Mouth of Madness.
Yeah.
Those kind of fit in. They're
in
not
the Mouth of Madness.
They're not at the extreme of Hellraiser, but they're sort of over in this like surreal unknown genre.
After I saw the original Hellraiser, I read The Hellbound Heart, the original novella that started Hellraiser, and the image of the puzzle box in the book was so scary, but there's no way of conveying it into the film. In the book, it's like a solid cube of obsidian with no seams, but you know it comes apart. You don't change it into a different shape and solve it. You have to disassemble it. And when the girl disassembles all the pieces and lays them out, she sees reflections of horrible things in the obsidian, like out of the corner of her eye. She never really makes it out. And then when it's finally fully disassembled, she hears the great bell toll. And then, like, it's the tolling of the Cenobites, and they walk into her room and say it's time to come with them and become one of them. Like, it's
that's your reward for solving the puzzle.
Yeah, it's your reward. Is eternal pleasure of agony.
On that note, thank you for listening to this insane multi-part Nerdy Show microsode Halloween spectacular. Thank you to the Central Florida Ghostbusters for showing me around, taking me on this ride. Yeah, cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for taking us to the Geekies.
If you would like a Nerdy Show microsode, all you have to do is support us every month. We're listener supported, and if you're the person who passes the $100 mark, you get to choose what we talk about. And something extreme like this could in fact happen, though I don't know if it's going to be this extreme ever again.
Let's be honest, that was pretty low key for us.
I mean, Riggs wasn't scared at all.
You want to sign up Hex for a ride along, maybe, possibly?
Oh my god. Yes, I do.
I think we need to put that in the books then.
Well, yeah, guys, thank you so much, and thank you for listening. Bye, I'm Cap.
Pool.
I'm Wall.
I'm Doug.
I'm LaForge.
I'm Briggs.
So happy Halloween from Nerdy Show and the Central Florida Ghostbusters.
We're ready to believe you.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to our Ghostbusters special.
And if you like this episode, you may also be interested to know that the Ghostbusters of Central Florida also ran into the cast of Derpy Show in their most recent episode, which we'll link to on this episode's page. If you'd like more info about the Central Florida Ghostbusters, all you gotta do is go to nerdyshow.com/ghostbusters to get extensive information on all their adventures. And if you thought this adventure was crazy, you might want to check out the other paranormal happenings that have happened to myself and the other Nerdy Show crew over on the Nerdy Show Prime tab. Specifically, you're going to want to look at The Curious Case of Dean Wallace, Nerdy Show Declassified, and Our Life Day Spectacular. We'll link to all those on this episode's page. All in all, it's been a pretty haunted Halloween and a very action-packed October. If you hung out with us at Nerdapalooza and you know who you are, it was amazing seeing you guys. We'll have pictures of the Nerdy Show cast and crew meetup on our Facebook page, and our entire Nerdapalooza coverage, featuring all the band's performances and all the Nerdy Show interviews and segments, will be posted on our YouTube channel shortly. Stay tuned for details on your favorite Nerdy Show social stream. We're, of course, listener-supported, and we couldn't do crazy things like ride along with Ghostbusters without you guys helping us out. We needed to make $300 a month to cover bare minimum costs, and this month we did have extra expenses that went into making the Nerdapalooza feed possible. So if you liked what you heard, like the Nerdapalooza stream, or like any of the programming associated with Nerdy Show, like Nerdy FM, our 24/7 streaming nerd music channel, then please, 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 if you could just spare some of your coin, it would mean the world to us. And when you do, you get cool stuff in the mail. As of this recording, we haven't quite made our $300 minimum, and we're nowhere near our $600 stretch goal that unlocks some sexy outtakes. But some wonderful folks did donate to us, such as Lawrence Hondrick, who says, "You guys have the awesomeness of 1 million exploding suns." Craig Cosper says, "Been a while since I supported. Here's some thank you dollars." Mauron says, "Here's $30 to help with hearing therapy after some wicked sets at Nerdapalooza." And Cassie Muldrow said, "I had such a great time meeting up at Nerdapalooza. Let me do my small part to help you continue with all your amazing programming." So thanks to them, and also thanks to Sean Hutchinson, Gary Ure, Benjamin Britt, and Tolan, who also supported us this month. If you guys would like to see a sexy, previously unseen photo of myself, Lefty Lucy, and our dearly departed Triforce Mike, we've got a little incentive to liking us on Facebook going on. Or, if you've already liked us, an incentive to tell your friends to like us. If we hit the 2,000 mark on our likes for Nerdy Show, or 500 likes for Dungeons and Doritos, we'll unveil this sexy, sensual photo of us three hanging out, mostly nude. But it's marginally safe for work. There's no actual bits, just so you know. As for what Nerdy Show's up to for the rest of the year, well, we've got some plans cooking, and some big interviews coming up in November, including an interview with Greg Weissman and Brandon Vietti, the creators of Young Justice. And of course, Greg Weissman is the creator of Disney's Gargoyles and one of the showrunners for the new Star Wars show, Rebels. So if you got any questions for those guys, let us know in the Nerdy Show forums. And we'll also be interviewing sci-fi author Michael Grant, who all you kids of the 90s might know better as his pen name with Catherine Applegate, K.A. Applegate, author of Animorphs. Yes, one half of the Animorphs writing duo will be on Nerdy Show, talking about he and Catherine Applegate's new book, Even Adam. But of course, there's going to be some Animorphs discussion. How could there not be? So thanks again to everybody who came out at Nerdapalooza, and everybody who tuned into the stream. If you're a new listener, welcome. Really glad you're here. Let us know what you think. And thanks to everyone who supported the show. We truly could not exist without you guys. We've got more cool stuff coming up throughout the rest of the year, and of course, into the new year. Hope you guys have a safe and happy Halloween. And if you do any cool pumpkin carvings or costumes, why not post them on the Nerdy Show forums, or tweet at us, or Facebook at us, because we'd love to see them. Taking us out, a track that I've closed a number of episodes with in the past, but I can't help it. It's my favorite Halloween jam of all time. It's finally been officially released on his brand new album, Duke 2. It's Candy Creep by Mrs. Paintbrush. Happy Halloween.
Candy in my pillowcase, watching it accumulate. 8 or 9 pound average in my glory days. Stamina was paramount back when I used to trick or treat. Soon as school would spit me out, I'd hit my house and I would eat leafy green vegetables to fortify myself with the fiber required to endure enough sugar to kill a baby tiger. Got so wired I could hear the fourth dimension. Picked up on all the sounds that kept the family pets' attention.
pressure from the church groups, bullies that want your candy, and police that want to search you for alcohol and firecrackers. These are deciding factors on how to strategize your candy quest before it's active. Trick-or-treat now, people would think I was a creep, plus I'm a candy snob now. Most of that shit I wouldn't eat, excessive doses of fructose are corrosive. Too much of it and you'll end up in realms where the ghosts live. And that's essentially what Halloween's about. Keep on eating up that candy, keep the Jesus lovers out. Halloween is cool, I use candy as my fuel to go out and get more candy, and I bet I'll get a few of those peanut butter chews in the orange and black wax paper. That's a dangerous, that's a fun of razor blades. Hey bro, thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is made possible by A Comic Shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of listeners like you. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by, like, telling a friend and rating and reviewing us on iTunes or making a contribution to our monthly support drives, right? Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in, you know? For more episodes of Nerdy Show, as well as other fine programming, community forums, videos, like articles, and like more, you head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all our totally tubular Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes store. And for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. Yay!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.